Welcome to the KNEL Radio Podcast, your podcast for news, sports, music, and talk radio. KNEL Radio Podcast is your resource to local news and sports from the heart of Texas and the Texas Hill Country. Join us weekly for a Hillbilly Hits radio show highlighting traditional country music and artists. And At Home with Debbie Rule, a talk show about home, family, and relationships. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference in your life today.
Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
You're planning to run for office. You've run before.
Yes, sir.
So you've got the scars.
I do, and some people probably think I've lost my mind.
That's beside the point.
But we got to stand up and fight. So.
Everybody, always love for people to run and it takes a little courage to run.
Yeah, it's not easy.
The easiest thing.
No, you'll find out how much stress you can handle in life running for office.
Well, let's go back up to the basics. You are a Brady native.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was born in Brownwood and raised in Brady, with the exception of being in the military and college. This has been where I've lived, and I love Brady. That's why I raised my kids here. So.
Okay. So you live and work here in Brady. Of course, many people know the name Verdell Diesel.
Yes, sir. Yep.
So maybe that's not your last name, but it's.
yeah, my dad's run a really good, honest business for a long time and been a good influence on me. So.
Okay. Well, you lived here. You're a native here. But you're obviously listed interested in politics. Run for office before?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And, made a run at the office two years ago.
CD 11. We did really good on it. We didn't win. That was the goal, to win. But there was $3.4 million spent in that race, and with only 27,000, we carried third place out of 10 candidates. We won first place in McCulloch. We won second place in a lot of the counties of the district that we're running in now. So we're pretty excited about this, and we think we've got a good head start on it.
Well, this time you've now decided to run for the District 53 seat in the Texas House.
Yes, sir.
McCulloch County is being moved from District 59, where Shelby Slauson is the current incumbent, to District 53. It's part of the reapportionment as a result of redistricting.
Yep.
District 53 currently has 12 counties in it, and there are it's going to have 16.
Yeah, we're picking up four counties.
Yeah, and it's basically the district in McCulloch County that will now be the northernmost county.
Yep.
In that district.
Yeah, it's weird to think going from the southern county to now we're the northern county of our district.
Yeah, but the other counties are obviously the counties that are close by: Menard, Mason, Llano counties. Those are all part of that district.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And it's a big district.
Yeah.
23,000 square miles.
Yeah, it's 340 miles long.
340 miles.
One of the biggest in the state.
It is.
But.
And so, with the change there, and you've decided that you want to run for the seat.
If we still had Shelby, there would be no point in me running. She did a great job, but some grassroots folks down in their new district have been very unhappy with their current state rep, and they had been asking me, and I said, "Well, I don't live in the district." And anyways, lo and behold, we get redistricted into it.
Lo and behold, you're in the district now.
Yes, sir. So here we are.
District 53. And so basically, why are you running?
I'm running because we watched the last 2 years, and a lot of people can relate to this, we watched government mandate mask, not object to forced vaccinations. And then we watched them tell people that their businesses are non-essential. So they're telling business owners, "Hey, you don't have a right to determine how or when you want to run your business," which is tyrannical in my opinion. And then also we had government telling the citizens, "Hey, your job's not essential. You don't have the right to work and feed your family." And then the representative I'm running against, and I challenge everybody, go back through his Facebook page, look for the last 2 years. You won't see one time where he stood up for the citizens. And that's what we're supposed to have, is a representative that stands up for us. And when you have a platform to stand up for your fellow citizens and you remain silent, you're as guilty as the tyrants themselves.
And so in terms of standing up, what do you think you should have done?
Here's the sad part, is only four legislators, whenever they were shutting down businesses, stood up and called for Abbott to have a special session. The reason the special session would have been important, so Abbott ruled as a dictator without having the legislators make law. Abbott is an executive. He's an executor. He's not supposed to be the one writing law or making law. And at that point, those legislators should have convened to address the situation of that time. instead of letting one man have complete control over the state and how that state is run.
So that, you know, it goes back to your point, is that the legislature should have been called into session
exactly
to decide on exactly what these rules were going to be. That the
yep.
state was going to be.
And my opponent remained dead silent on that stuff. Only four legislators stepped up to that, which is sad that we don't have enough leaders willing to step up and call for that. So,
the other areas were you looking at?
Yeah,
about?
Well, voter integrity is huge. We know that it happened in Texas and several places, not just in other states. And anyways, the problem with that is, so my opponent just sponsored the voter integrity bill through the House, and they proposed an amendment that reduced voter fraud from a felony to a penalty, from a felony to a misdemeanor. And anyways, he voted for that amendment, so now it's a slap on the wrist if you get caught cheating in elections. That's the exact opposite of what we're supposed to be doing with that integrity bill. So pretty disappointing on it.
If I recall from when you ran before, you described yourself as a Jeffersonian.
That's absolutely right. Yes, sir.
Conservative, was that
correct? Jeffersonian constitutionalist.
Okay, that was it.
Yeah.
So how do you define that?
What that really indicates is, so I'm what would be called a minarchist. Most people aren't familiar with that term, but that means I believe in a very small, limited government, and that it's also up to the local governments to decide how they want to run their business. We want to keep government as small as possible, and we want to make sure that people have the liberty to live their lives as they want without excessive regulation.
So if you were elected, your approach would be sort of that?
Yeah, we're supposed to be shrinking government, not growing it, because government's natural progression is always growth, and so we're supposed to always be fighting against that.
Yeah, some people would call it basically sort of a libertarian point of view.
You know, there's some, I would say I'm from the liberty wing of the Republican Party. There's some overlap there sometimes, but I don't get into the far libertarian perspectives or anything like that. So, okay. Yeah.
There is a role for government.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's, you know, the idea of no government is called anarchy. People think that means destroying businesses and everything, but that actually just means a lack of government. And the truth is, anytime there is a void like that, something will come in and take its place. It's a utopian idea to think we can have a society without some kind of form of rules or law. So,
just in general, how do you you look back at the Texas legislature this past session?
You know, they want to brag how conservative the session was, but if you look at the Republican Party platform and the priorities listed in it, which I played a role in as a state delegate. I think they only passed two or three out of like our eight top ones. And then the two or three that they did, they call them token bills, meaning they can, you know, go out into the public and be like, hey, look how great we did this. But we actually look into the meat of it and it's not very strong bills. So it's a dog and pony show at that point. One of the issues we had with, so I work for Gun Owners of America. We were doing a lot of gun bills, but there were other bills too that that were pretty frustrating. And in those bills, there's a transgender bill right now, so we're trying to stop. Basically, the law allows parents to force their children to have transgender surgeries and chemical castrations and that whatnot right now. We've been trying to stop that. Abbott and them have not stood up to actually having that. We had that bill in a committee, and the committee chair killed the bill. She basically, and the way that works is they tell the committee chairs, hey, we don't want this bill to get through. They delay it on the timeline. Then it never gets voted, and it doesn't get to the floor. Then the Republicans can get up into their constituents and say, hey, look, we fought for this, but it was killed. And that's one of the things that my opponent did is during the House rolls on the first part of the session, a friend of mine proposed an amendment. And anyways, he said that the amendment was that only Republicans could chair committees. Sounds reasonable to me. My opponent voted against that. He voted to allow Democrats to chair committees, and then they can have these Democrats chairing very important committees that can kill the bills. And then they can go back to their constituents and say, hey, we fought for this, but the Democrat killed it. But the Democrat was put there by the Republican Speaker of the House. It's a complete dog and pony show, and they hope that people aren't smart enough to realize the difference on it.
They said that you'd look at the legislature, and then as far as the issues you think are important, things you'd be focusing on if elected in the next session.
Yeah, we actually need I would say we need to strengthen the penalties for voter fraud, not do the opposite like my opponent did. And then we also need to get the gender mutilation bill passed through, where they can't do that to kids under 18 years old. You know, they're doing double mastectomies on 13-year-old, 14-year-old girls, which is absolute insane. That should be 100% illegal to do to a minor. That kid is not of sound mind to be be the one making those decisions or the parents either, which is questions what the parents are thinking when they allow that to happen also. Those are two that we would definitely approach. And then border control, you know, my opponent has remained dead silent on that. Go back through his Facebook and look for 2 years. You won't see anything about it. We have to strengthen the border. The problem we have right now is Mexico sees us as having weak leadership. They're not worried about us. They have to know that we will stand and defend our border. And that's a huge problem that has to be addressed. And our leadership is doing the dog and pony show again. Abbott says that he put a fence up. It's a chain link fence that you can cut through and walk right across. And I went and picked up, this is back in April of 2020, I went down to Corpus Christi and picked up 9 pieces of the border wall and took it to Arizona and delivered it to the border. We have to have a border wall where it's logistically possible. It's not always logistically possible to have a wall, so we have to address those issues too, which means more manpower, more technology, and we have to have a show of force against the people coming over here. I know that there are citizens that want to come here and make a better life for them. I'm not against that. I would ask that they do it the legal way. But we also have lots of drug smugglers and terrorists that want to come over and cause harm to this nation. We have Iran, China, and Russia all wanting to see us collapse right now. And then the other problem with that is with China. So I went down to the port one time and picked up a container, took it to the windmills in Throckmorton. And anyways, I asked the Russian engineer what that container, where it came from. And he said, oh, it came from China. And I said, it's all Chinese components. He said, yep. And then a friend of mine who's in the intel world that works overseas, he says, all of these chips that are coming over, they're all Chinese made. They have backdoor access. And anyways, that gives them, with the push of the button, they can shut down our power, shut down our water. It's absolutely crazy that's where we're at in this world right now. So.
Well, those are a lot of big issues. Some of them go way beyond just...
they get into federal and...
District.
Yes, sir, yeah.
And coming back to the district, you're looking at, at more specific issues here in the district.
Yes, sir.
And other things that you're concerned about.
Yeah, we need to make sure that eminent domain is... We don't want to have ranchers and farmers, and even through here, we're talking about the interstate coming through here. We need to make sure that people are not just having their land taken from them, that they're not being that if the land is done, that they are appropriately paid for it. And then we have water rights that we have to deal with for ranchers and farmers. And then that gets into the border too, on do we just cut complete water access off to those ranchers and all that down there? And we don't get on the border with our district. We get really close to it though. And we need a representative who's going to stand up to make sure those guys can defend themselves. One of the problems we have with the border right now is those guys are being told that they can't defend their property, which is absolutely insane. So I can't remember which organization it was, but there was a rancher down there and a sheriff. I wish I could remember what county. But anyways, they told him, said, don't bother calling us. We're not coming to help you. Because he was capturing them, then calling Border Patrol and saying, hey, I captured these guys, can get on them. They said, nope, we're going to charge you with kidnapping if you keep doing that, which is boggles my mind. So you can't defend your own border or your own property at that point.
And these were on his property.
Yes, sir. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Other areas?
Yeah.
Come to mind offhand?
Pro-life. So one thing Shelby Slauson did great was she authored the Heartbeat Act bill, mm-hmm. and we need to see if there's a way we can strengthen that. She did a fantastic job on it, and we're watching that play out in the federal side now. They're trying to take away Texas's right to make a law like that. So, and that gets back into strong leadership. We need strong Texas leadership that's going to stand up and fight for those things. Trying to think of what other bills I could call out on that, but basically, my biggest problem is we don't have a rep that will stand up for us. So it's time to get a guy that'll stand up. So.
And you're it.
I hope so. But one thing I can promise the voters is I don't go in there just to be somebody's pet or their friend. I'm going there to actually stand for us. Yeah.
Very good. Well, if there are other issues that are important to you?
I think we covered them all.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
And you are running. You haven't filed yet. The filing period starts Saturday.
I'll be filing Saturday if I can make it over there in time. I have a shooting match Saturday morning in Bandera, which is also part of our district, and we'll do some events there. But then hopefully I can jump over to Austin real quick and make my filing time.
Get filed as a candidate for the primary. It looks like The way I read it, it looks like the primary will probably come off on time.
We sure hope so. We want to get this done and move on. So
there's a lot of speculation that the primary would have to be delayed because of redistricting. But
yeah.
So far, it looks like the time period will hold.
March 1st, three and a half months away. So.
Yeah. But a month period here for people to file to become a candidate.
Yes, sir.
And it's going to be a big election because it has the governor and all those others.
Yeah, it's going to be really active. It's You know, for this stuff, this excites me, and politics matters. I can tell you this, if you don't know anything about your government knows everything about you. Learn everything you can about them.
That's a good line.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Wesley Riddell with us this morning, candidate for District 53 in the Texas House of Representatives.
Yes, sir.
Got to file Saturday to run for office. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks a lot for having me. I love this radio station. Love being on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll look forward to talking with you again as we get into the campaign.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.